Turn your Bibles, will, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, as we continue to our study of this book to the church at Ephesus. And there, you remember, the church of Ephesus is there on the Aegean Sea, on western modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, being the capital and the place of the worship of the goddess Diana. And the Lord, in His blessing and work, has sent the Apostle Paul and others to minister unto these people, and of these people the Lord saved and then established a church there. And the apostle, possibly from Rome, we don't know exactly, but writing to this church and talking to them about things that they have need of. And last time we took a look here at verse number 1 of chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And we took account and considered how it is with the salvation of the Lord and how the Lord has saved and worked in the hearts and souls of men, women, boys, and girls over all the millennia. Salvation is of the Lord and working through Him. His working, His touch, His making one alive. And as it was with Adam, so it is with the sinner that was saved today, somewhere, no doubt. The Lord has quickened and does quicken sinners. He makes alive, because we are dead, certainly, in trespasses and sins. The thing that we mentioned and that we saw is that the revelation, the revealing of the gospel, is that which has been more and more uncovered and revealed over time. The good news of God, the gospel, the good glad tidings of the Lord have always been, from that day there after sin came in through Adam's disobedience, the work and deception and beguiling of Satan, of Eve, and sin coming upon us, coming upon mankind through Adam's disobedience of the Lord there by partaking of that tree that the Lord told him not to partake of. The good news of God has always been that God was going to step in and do something for man that he can't do for himself. That's always been the gospel. That God's going to do something for us that we can't do. The promise that Adam and Eve had was that of the seed of the woman there would come one that would bruise the head of the serpent. And then over the course of time, and the Lord revealing through His Word, and revealing things by the way that He dealt with Noah, by the way that He spoke and dealt with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through the Israel and the establishing of the nation, the kings that were there, the prophets that were sent, the Word of God has been revealed more and more and more. The gospel has always been that God's going to do something for us that we can't do. That's climaxed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being given for sinners' sins, for His people's sins. And so the Lord, through His Word and through His Spirit, has quickened us and made us alive. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You can't do, we can't do much at all, really nothing for a dead man than other than bury him, right? We can't. We've seen accounts in movies and on TV and different things, maybe books and such as that, where someone is near death and the question that's always asked, do you get a pulse? And while there's a pulse, there's something that can be done, and they pursue to try to help and try to help. But after the pulse is lost, after the heartbeat is gone, after a period of time of trying to revive that heart of that one, they say they're gone. And that's the way we are without Christ. Before salvation, we're dead. Dead. That's the reason that the quickening power of the Lord is needed, and He uses the Word, His Word, to bring that. Verse number 2. We want to take a look at the spiritual side of life. We want to take a look at the spiritual thing that until we're saved, until the Word of God comes to us and His power and reveals to us about those things that are going on spiritually, we have not a clue that they're even there. Now, there are those that are not saved that can be drawn down into the depths of sin and depravity and wickedness of Satan, and they can actually become engaged with the spiritual world. It's devilish. witchcraft, sorcery, and such as that. They can be become engaged with that, and it's terrible, and it's wicked, and it's even more compromising of their self and their soul. They are dead in trespasses and sins, but it's just made even worse, if you will. Being held in the clutches of Satan, being held in the clutches of wickedness, and that is going on spiritually, and those things that are going on, if you will, the way I understand it, refer to it on the other side. That place that when sinners and the saints die, we go on to be on that other side. The saints go to be with glory with the Lord. And those that are not saved go to a devil's hell, a hell prepared for the devil. But they will then, all those that die, that other side is manifested unto them. We're going to see about that. We're going to see about that here in this. But here it tells the state that we were in. Because it takes being saved to have an understanding of what it was. One that's not saved, it's foolishness to them. They just don't comprehend it. And what's the scripture say? Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. We understand that. The course of this world is what it is. It's bent towards sin. It's if the Lord is this way, the course of this world is that way. The course of this world is always 180 degrees opposite to the way of God. It's always that way. That's the way that we walked. That's all that we knew. That's all that made sense. If you would ask us and you could delve in and investigate with us, it was the only thing that we could comprehend, the course of this world. You remember how it was when the Lord visited you and saved you, and maybe there were those that were saved that the Lord used to be a witness to you, to carry the gospel to you, and the things that they mentioned to us and told us about, we thought so strange. There was no way it could be possible, that it just can't work that way, that it can't be true, that it can't be of any value. But then when the Lord saved us, we said, looky there, it's true. It's right, it's so. The course of this world, we walk in that way and we see that. But look here what it says, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's Satan. That's Satan, referred to here as a prince. Referred to as one, a prince. Who is a prince under? A prince is subordinate to a king, amen? The prince in the power of the air. The devil, Satan, that's before the Lord saved me, that's who I walked according to. The course of this world, which he is involved with and working in and taking the depravity of man and just feeding the sin and depravity of man, just feeding it with more and more and more to consider and to go after the depravity in man, just working wickedness and evil within, just propagating it, making it more. Ecclesiastes tells us that man goes and God has made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. How more to pursue wickedness and sin and evil? And Satan just feeds that more with his spiritual influence, if you will. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're here and you're not saved, that's where you fall. You are of the children of disobedience. Before the Lord saved me, I was of the children of disobedience. Devilish, wicked, without hope, lost and undone, dead in trespasses and sins. Brother Jim, I don't really like you making reference to me that way. I'm pretty good, whatever. You can fill in the blank. That's what the Word of God says. See, the whole thing about the power and working of salvation and the grace of God working in us, very closely and very directly related to that is an understanding of how bad off we are. In and of ourselves, naturally, we are hopeless. We are wicked. And mankind don't want to hear that message. We don't want to hear that we're that bad off, but indeed we are. And we wanted to, this afternoon, let's go ahead and read verse number 3. Among whom also we all, Not we most. Not you, 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 and you, but not you, 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 and you. But we all had our what? Our conversation, right? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust or the desire of what the body wants, the flesh wants, fulfilling the desires of the body, the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's describing Jim Duke to a T. As me. As me. You hear you're not saved? That's you. That's how bad you need Christ. Nothing you can do can change this. You need the Lord. You need the truth of His Word. You need rescued by Him. It says there that we had our conversation. What's our conversation? It's what we say, do, and think. And of course, that order is wrong because it's really think and say and do is in their parallel, right? Because James tells us everything that we pursue, it starts in the heart. I'm not pointing down here. This is the blood pumping muscle. That seed of the emotion, where is it? Well, it's somewhere in here. But what we think and what we say and what we do, that's our conversation. Our conversation revealed that our state was this way. Wickedness and sin that we pursued. But it says here in verse number 2, and it's in verse 3 it says, the children of wrath. Okay? In verse number 2 it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, I tell you, it's imperative to see the peril that one that is without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's essential that it be seen where you are. You're in a desperate, terrible position and shape. You need Christ. And we point you to Christ. You need Him. Because this one that works in you, what's it say? That now worketh in. The one that is not saved is there, aside from the blessing and touch of the Lord, is there and can be taken and used of Satan at his will. Brother Jim, what are you talking about? Turn over here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's take a look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Right here at the end of the chapter. Here speaking about the servant of the Lord, and verse number 24, we'll pick up the thought here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, power under control, instructing those that oppose themselves. And that's the state of the sinner without Christ. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves by that salvation of the Lord, not what they can do, but that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's precarious, isn't it? The children of wrath, the children of disobedience, those that are subject to the spirit of Satan, the prince and the power of the air, they are subject to him working in them at his will, aside from the stopping of the Lord, which we're going to take a look at that. It's precarious. And we that are saved, that's what we've been saved from. Amen? Amen? Haven't we been brought a very, very long way? Oh, the disparity between the sinner that is without Christ all the way to the child of the King. I can't get over that concept. There's no in between. A child of the King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, or a subject in the kingdom. That's a great disparity, isn't it? A great disparity. And you that are without Christ, that's where you were. We that are saved, that's where we've been brought from. To where we were subject to this prince and power of the air, this spirit working in us. We have the Spirit of God within now. There's no room for the man that's not as strong. Amen? Isn't that what the Lord tells us in the Gospels? That when they were accusing the Lord of throwing out demons by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of Satan, the Lord said, listen, no one can keep somebody out of a house unless they're strong enough to go in there and whip the occupant that's within. Get the picture. When the Lord shows up, Satan's out of business. Satan and his minions, those fallen angels, the devils, they're out of business. There's no room inside when the Spirit of God dwells within. And that's what's been done for us. Here, let's consider about this prince and power of the air and this one. Look over here in Luke 4. We have an indication of some of this. And I know of some brethren that would say that Satan is here lying when he is speaking to the Lord, but I don't believe it's so. He's referred to as by the Lord as the prince and the power of the air. He's been given authority. We can go to Isaiah, I think chapter 14, a passage in Ezekiel that tells about Satan. And it tells there that he has taken his people and he has essentially wasted them. It says there that he has taken his land and wasted it. I think with the five I wills of Satan, when he stood up, Lucifer stood up and said that he's going to be like the Most High. He's going to sit in the sides of the north. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. That there is a sense there that the Lord said, okay, I'm going to cast you out of heaven because of your wickedness and disobedience, and you have at it and see what you can do. He says there that the seed of evildoers will never be renowned. The children of disobedience, are they the Lord's? No, they're not the Lord's. The Lord, the people that the Lord saves are brought out from being a child of disobedience. So then I ask you, whose children are the children of disobedience? There's only one that's left. Does Satan have the power to give life? No, he doesn't. So therefore, the Lord had to give him a heritage. Amen? It's the Lord only that creates life. And we're approaching a realm there that it's hard for us to even meddle in, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I can't reckon and discern those things, but it seems like it's there. Look here what is said. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning of his ministry, going out to be tempted, it says here in verse number 1, led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in Luke chapter 4, we see here in verse number 5, and the devil, taking him, that is Jesus, up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I remember in my childhood that some said, well, there'd be no way that he could do that. But that's what the Scripture said he did. And it was done. There's no rebuke to it that follows. So what happened there? He took him up into a mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's what he did. These are things that are somewhat on the spiritual side. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Did Satan build it? No. But was it given to him and the wisdom and power and will of God for whatever it is that God's doing in that? Was he not made a prince over the earth? The scripture that we read calls him the prince and the power of the air. The Lord Jesus Christ said when the disciples, and he sent them out to go and preach in the cities, and they came back and they rejoiced that even the devils were subject to them. He says, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. He said, I saw Satan cast out of heaven to the earth. Like a star, I believe, or like lightning. he refers to. And so it seems here that there is authority and there is a dominion that's given to Satan. His charge would be to rule it and to occupy it and reign it to the honor and glory of God. But we know because of his disobedience, he will not and has not. And so much so that the Scripture tells us, I believe in Isaiah, that when men look on him in that last day, they'll say, is this the one that troubled the nations? It says there, in regards to him and his heritage, that his grave, and that he is found so vile and wicked that his grave will toss him out as an abominable branch. The grave will not even suffer him to be buried, the Lord says. But in the meantime, he's given a dominion. Let's take a look over here in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse number 12. You know the account, I trust. And we pick it up here in verse number 12 of Job chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath, that is a Job, because the Lord's asked Satan about Job, if he's considered him. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And here's the account. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I am escaped alone to tell thee. Satan is there before the Lord. The Lord says, if you consider Job, he said, how can you not consider him? He said, but I can't touch him. You build a hedge about him. He says, you let down that hedge, he'll curse you to his face, to your face. And the Lord says, everything he's got's in your hand. And then what happened? The Sabaeans came and stole those cattle. How did they do that? By the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan was given reign by God to go and work what he desired, and Satan worked it, and they came, and they stole Job's cattle. See, Satan only has as much rope as the Lord gives him. But what the Lord gives him, he uses. He uses. Out of the power and control of God, nothing is. Being originated by God, nope. Can't ever blame it on God. But the Lord, in the operating of his kingdom, let this prince do that. Okay? Let's read on. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Did God say that he would send fire? No. He said, everything that he has except his body, you can do what you want to with it. They that were there that witnessed this said that the fire was from God, but I believe that the prince and power of the air used the power that he had to send that fire and devour what was done. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, the slain and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Why is it that the Chaldeans chose to go and pillage that day? Because the prince and the power of the air was given leave, and he moved in them to do so. Oh, Brother Jim, I just don't get that. Well, listen, how about an army, 185,000 strong, that would be standing there against Jerusalem, and all it takes is the sun to come up? I've mentioned this to you before. All it takes is the sun to come up, and they from Assyria march and take over Jerusalem. But something happens and moves among them, and they slay one another. Now that's the power and hand of God, wasn't it? But when the Lord backs up and gives Satan leave, then he can work the thing that he's allowed to work. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And it was well for Job to do so, because Job yielded himself to the hand of the Lord. But the Lord gave leave concerning his servant. He said, everything but his body you can touch. And Satan did so. Job's perspective is, I'm in the hand of the Lord, and what the Lord has done, the Lord be praised. But in the effect and the working of it, the Lord stepped back. He limited Satan to where he's going to limit him to. And then Satan went and worked. He worked in the Chaldeans. He worked in the Sabaeans. He worked in the prince as the prince in the power of the air as he has leave. We're going to take a look at something else in this. Take a look over here in chapter 2 quickly. You know the account. Satan says, skin for skin. Said a man will give everything that he hath for his life. Put forth his hand now in verse 5, touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 6 of chapter 2, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. The Lord set the bounds. What's it say? So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Who did? Satan did. Satan did it. The Lord said, here's the limit. You can't kill him. What's it say about in the church when any of us would become openly sinful? We have sin in our lives. Yes, we do. We're sinners. We have sin in our lives. But when we would engage in something that would be public, that's listed there in the Scripture so evidently, and we begin as the children of God to behave unsaved by pursuing open immorality, open sin, public sin. We're to be dealt with by the church, aren't we? And what's the Scripture say there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're to be delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, right? That's what it says, right? That's what it says. So see, the Lord takes his umbrella of protection away, it seems, as if we understand it correctly, and that one is separated from the church. They are made a non-member of the church. They're no longer a part of the body. Because what's being worked here is to preserve the health of the body. And when something becomes corrupt, something becomes infected, something becomes a challenge for the health of the body, that part is severed off. In our day and age, we would think of giving it antibiotics. But the Lord says that when those public things are engaged by that, that they are to be dealt with and they are to be taken away. They're to be set apart. They're to be withdrawn from. And then the Lord's protection is taken away from that saint, if that's the case, if they are a child of God. And then Satan is given leave, maybe even to kill him. Isn't that what Job said, or the Lord said about Job? Said, you can do everything but kill him. Could it not be that the Lord would say, you can even kill him? Could be. I mean, that's in context and in connection with that passage that's there. But all of it is at the limitation of God. Okay? What goes on to say here, so Satan went forth, verse 7, from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And there we see that situation. I want to take a look over here in Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. In this thing that is happening, if you will, as I understand it and have an understanding of it, those things that are going on in the spiritual realm, those things that are going on the other side that we can't see with these physical eyes, but because of what the Word of God tells us, we know that they're there and they're so. We have not seen Satan, but we certainly see the effects of Satan. We have not seen the fallen angels, but we know that they are there. As much as the angels of God are ministering spirits, the fallen angels, the devils, those that are party to the working and desire and pursuit of Satan, they work wickedness and evil. How many that were in the Lord's day, in the day of His ministry, that He cast demons out of? They were there. They were given leave. The people that were not saved were there and ready to be taken over by those demons. Aside from the preventative hand of God. How many of them that we see in the account in the Scriptures that were demon-possessed and the Lord blessed to send one, or the Lord Jesus Christ in His ministry, or the apostles were sent, and that demon was cast out and they were saved? Amen? They were brought from darkness to light. Truly they were, weren't they? Yes. Well, take a look here as we see here in Daniel chapter 10 about this working and these things going on the other side. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Verse number 10. Daniel 10:10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands, Daniel says. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, this one that's speaking to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You sought the Lord's face in this issue that you wanted to know about, Daniel. And from the beginning of the time that you began to ask this and request this of God, I was on my way. I was on my way to you to bring you the answer. You're greatly beloved of the Lord, and the Lord sent answer. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. What's it go on to say? But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Look in verse number 2. Verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. It's kind of like what it is that they told my wife when she was in nursing school. If you get a cold and you take medication, you can get over your cold in about 3 weeks. Otherwise, if you don't do anything for it, it'll pass in about 21 days. What'd the angel tell him? As soon as you prayed, the Lord sent me and I was on my way to give you an answer. But I was held up by the prince of Persia. Is he talking about an earthly prince? No, he's talking about the demons that were working in that wicked nation. The one that had been assigned either by God or by Satan himself to be there and be responsible, to have dominion. Princes are subservient to kings. When the devils were there and they were possessing those that the Lord encountered in the day of his ministry, remember what they said? Art thou come to torment us before the time? Don't cast us out and make us go into the deep. Let us go into the pigs. Right? We know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And the Lord would tell them, be quiet. Don't talk any more of it. The Lord didn't want the witness of devils about who he was. He came wanting men, women, boys, and girls to hear the utterance of the Word of God. But when the demons are there before God, they do what he wants them to do. Amen? They know, are you come to torment us before the time? They know what their end is. They've read the Bible too. They know the Word of God. And whatever the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever God would will, they would be subject to it immediately. And here there's this one that's there that's the prince of Persia withstanding the messenger of God to Daniel. And Michael, who's that? That's one of the angels, isn't it? He came, and in that spiritual, that heavenly, that warfare that's happening over on the other side, folks, that we can't see, the Word of God tells us about it. And there, as Daniel prayed and fasted and mourned for 3 weeks, the messenger of God was on the way, was withheld, was tied up, was fought against, was wrestled with until the Lord sent deliverance. What is God doing? I don't know, folks. I don't know what all God's doing, but it's great. It's great. It's wonderful. And it's mighty, and it's all in the kingdom and the working of God, and it is connected to us. Daniel sought the face of his God, and because he didn't get answer on the first day, he was faithful to continue on until he got an answer. Amen? And there on the other side, God purposed to send the answer right away, but it took 21 days, 3 weeks, for the messenger to get there. And Satan didn't want the message brought. The devils did not want the message brought, lest it be written about to encourage you and me. Amen? And for our brother Daniel to know that thing that he inquired about the future and about those things regarding the Lord's nation. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, wherein in that death, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past, in that death, trespasses, those sins, wherein in those things, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the desire of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I hope what we've considered this afternoon will help us out to see what that's talking about. We've been rescued from that direct spiritual inward effect of Satan upon the soul and upon the working of our life. But rather, the Spirit of God living within. Amen? Haven't we been brought a long way? The devil made me do it. The child of God can never say that. Really, no one can say that because our depravity and our sin is there. But the child of God can never make such a claim because the Spirit of God lives within. and that whole working that's there on the other side, it is there. Why didn't the Lord let the angel get to Daniel quickly? Only the Lord knows. He does what he wants to amongst all that's living. Amen. But it's all there. We can know of a certainty and a surety that it's there to his honor and his glory and for his praise. And we that are saved, we used to be affected that way. But now we are not. Satan only comes at us now from the outside. So how much are we going to let in through the ear gate? How much are we going to let in through the eye gate? How much of it are we going to churn around in our hearts and minds? But rather, may the Lord help us that we might be affected by good, bright, godly things out of the Word of God through the ear and through the eye and in the meditation and musing of our hearts. Amen. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, who walked according to that wicked way, who was a child of disobedience, but now made a child of light. You that are here and not saved, we point you to Christ. You need that enlightenment. You need that salvation. You need that rescue that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and trust in Him. Believe in Him. Receive Him. Come unto Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest.